Understood is a resource I have recommended for many years to parents looking for support with learning and thinking differences such as ADHD, dyslexia, and more. And I'm subsequently excited to tell you about their podcast, Understood Explains. This season, the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. They cover topics such as how to tell if your child needs an IEP, common myths about special education, and the difference between IEPs and 504 plans. I love how Understood Explains breaks down the overwhelm by unpacking an important topic each season and then drilling down further into key basics in each episode. Most episodes are between 10 to 15 minutes, and episodes are available in both English and Spanish. So fantastic, right? To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of smart, compassionate guests, you will come away with insights and tactics to help you find the agency and space to simplify and declutter your home, time, mental space, and more. Hello, friends and pet lovers, or to-be pet lovers. I'm very excited about today's conversation with Nancy Mello. Nancy is an animal communicator who helps people see into the hearts and minds of their animals, both alive and departed, in order to help people and their pets grow together. Nancy is the host of the new podcast, Creature Preacher, and I was blown away when I listened to the first episode, Super Support Dog. All Nancy needs is a photo in which she can clearly see the eyes of an animal to do her work. And after hearing about all of the incredible specific messages she heard from Dave the dog in that Super Support Dog episode, I started telling all of my animal-loving friends about this incredible show and her work. As I've shared on this show before, I grew up with legit dog trauma, so I never in a million years imagined that I would have a dog. Having an animal has changed my life, and I'm so delighted to welcome Nancy today to talk about caring communication with animals. And also, she blew my mind in real time on the back half of the conversation, like mouth hanging open in front of my mic. Let's have a listen. Hello and welcome, Nancy. I'm so excited to have you on the show today. Hi.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yes. Well, I will have already talked about your incredible new show, Creature Preacher, in the intro, but I just wanted to say to you live, congratulations. It is so awesome. I've told so many people about it. I've been really talking all my animal friend lovers' ears off about it. So congratulations.
Thanks so much. It's been a real labor of love to do, and I've had so much fun. It really, and I can truly say it really changed me, and I don't think I expected that, where, you know, where you start doing these shows, and I'm so in love with my production team from Rococo Punch, where they found guests for me for, you know, not just cats and dogs, but we talked to a tortoise. And and so through these conversations, though, I wasn't expecting, every conversation went in a completely different way than I imagined. And I can truly say it's been life changing.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Well, I will for sure link it up in the show notes and be sharing it in all the places. But I wanted to start with a couple of listener questions today because I have received a bunch about pets. People know I'm a pet person. So the first one is about life lessons. And I want to caveat by saying, I imagine your lens will kind of be on a different plane given the work that you do. But generally speaking, as somebody who is passionate about pets and communicating with them, I'd be curious just to hear what you feel is one of the best life lessons that animals can teach us.
Oh my goodness. It just varies from person to person. I think one of the major ones just off the top of my head is probably patience. Mm. Patience and unconditional love. I find that animals fulfill us in a way that may have been lacking before. And with animals, we can love with abandon. Not sure exactly whatever it is, we can just love completely and utterly and really fall in love. And animals are just a wonderful sounding board for us. In my work as an animal communicator, working with clients 6-7 days a week, I've found that not only do they listen, but they understand the majority of what we're saying, and they do try to help. So in terms of lessons, I think love is a big one. Mm-hmm. And love is many different forms. Some people find that after owning a pet, or I don't like to say owning, but having a pet for many, many years, that they find that that's all they need. That, to quote the Beatles, love is all you need, that, mm-hmm. that from a pet. Other times people find a lot of healing from past trauma. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing. But I think another big one is patience, because animals have autonomy. They're not always going to do what we want them to do. My animals are no exception. You know, when I'm in sessions, they have been known to get into litter boxes and get into the trash and all of that fun stuff. So it's patience. It's understanding that this is a unique being that has their own individual needs and wants and likes and dislikes, and honoring that being, similar to you, to if you had a human child, mm-hmm. but also understanding that they're going to be silly too. They're going to knock over the trash can. They are going to run out in the street, and that's okay. They can be just as impulsive as children. So patience is a big one.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. And actually, when you were talking about love, I mean, with my dog, I often say that he made my heart grow 3 sizes. I was like the Grinch before about animals due to trauma, actually. That's related to the next question I'm going to ask you. But I didn't realize I had that capacity in me. So that is, I don't know, it makes me actually a little teary just thinking about that. So
yeah.
I think that's important. And I would just tack on that I think that one of the best things for me has been caring less about my material things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything gets wrecked. It's fine. Whatever. It's just stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you had mentioned healing, which was actually the next thing a listener had asked me about. They specifically were curious about the healing nature of pets. I don't have context beyond that, like whether they were thinking about adding a pet to their family. But what are your thoughts? And I imagine you have a lot of them, but sort of some top lines on how animals can help humans heal.
Sure. So what I've found in sessions is that animals can help us emotionally, but also physically. So I'm a big science person. I believe that everything I tell you can be proven. I don't like to get too woo-woo. So science has already shown us that people that have animals have lower blood pressure. They are generally healthier. But I've also found on an emotional level that animals like to have jobs. And this goes for cats, dogs, but even rabbits and other animals you may have in your home like to have jobs. And especially when you are emotional or you are going through something, animals can sense that. Now, we can say from a science perspective that they may hear our heart rate quicken. They may feel, you know, smell our blood pressure go up, or even maybe releasing hormones. So you can say from a science perspective, we could prove that. What I find is that when they know that we are going through something emotional, that they immediately, most of the time, want to help in some regard. And what they can do is kind of take that from us. And that's why I encourage everyone, like the number one thing I always say is talk to your animals, talk to them, tell them, you know, I'm sad, I'm happy. This is what we're doing today. Just talk to them. And they can kind of take on that emotion. Now, they can't get sick from it. I have not seen an instance where an animal got sick from taking on emotion, but they are able to release it. I know when I had COVID this past summer, and my cat didn't leave my side for 7 days. And I could feel her just helping me and that purring. So another thing with cats, they've proven that since the Roman times that cats have the purrs, have healing powers, but also emotionally being able to have, going back to that unconditional love, can kind of set us right again, or so, you know, if we're a ship and we're rocking back and forth, they can kind of stabilize us. So I find emotionally, I think a pet is the best thing you can have, and be able to learn from. And I remember when I was a little girl, I remember reading or something. Oh, you know, pets can be friends. And I remember I'm very pragmatic. What do you mean pets can be friends? You know, they can't talk back. And I realize now, absolutely, they can be friends. Mm-hmm. Not only can they be friends, but they are confidants. They can, you know, they can have dinner with us. They can watch TV with us. They can absolutely be our friends. And I think, again, dispelling those notions that you might have grown up with, that maybe dogs stay outside or dogs stay off the furniture or whatever it is, and really welcoming them into our lives in that way helps us even more emotionally.
Wow. I love that your cat helped you through your COVID, because I actually had the same experience with my dog when the one time I've had it, and it hit pretty hard. And he just curled up in his little donut position and was next to me on the couch for like 12 days. It's really incredible. So I felt it. That is so beautiful, Nancy. All right. Well, I have more questions for you. We're going to cut to a quick break and be right back.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you struggle with boundaries and the general complexities of peopling? Relationships are necessary to our well-being, and some relationships are just, well, complicated. A good chunk of the work I have done in therapy centers on relationships, how to own my part of the story, how to let go of relationships that are toxic, and how to navigate challenging relationships in a way that doesn't drain me. And all of this work helps me show up better for myself and also as a partner, mom, friend, family member, and business owner. If you're thinking of starting therapy, check out BetterHelp. This online therapy platform was designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/edit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/edit. As you know, I am all about micro-improvements, and if you'd like to dedicate a little time each day to learn a language, I have a great solution for you. Babbel is a science-backed language learning app that offers 10-minute language lessons designed to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Materials are rooted in real-life situations, so you can learn important basics such as ordering food and asking for directions. Babbel offers personalized learning content, real-time feedback, tracking, and visualizations. And their speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. No matter what level you are looking for, casual, intense, or something in between, you can enjoy app lessons, podcasts, and live classes from the comfort of your home on your schedule. Here's a special limited-time deal for Edit Your Life listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription. This is only for Edit Your Life listeners at babbel.com/edit. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/edit. That's spelled BABBEL.com/edit. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hello, friends. We are back with the wonderful Nancy Mello, who I was just telling during our little break that she's saying all the words that are making me feel all the feels. So thank you for that experience today, Nancy. So I want to talk about acceptance. So in your work, I love it. I think I pulled this from your website, but you embrace that every animal has a unique personality. And here's what I'm curious about. I don't know if it's always been this way as a relatively new person with a pet in their home, but as someone with a dog in the family who now talks to a lot of dog owners, I've noticed that people are very quick to label their pets. So they might say, for example, oh, my dog is super anxious. They're really sensitive. They're really jumpy, etc. So I'm curious, do you think this negative label and the energy that it might bring may perpetuate challenges with animals? Like, should people work on course correcting and moving towards more accepting language? I'm just curious about your thoughts here.
That's a great question. And there's a couple of answers. First and foremost, I think sometimes, unfortunately, we do mirror in our pets what perhaps is going on in us. So if we are feeling anxious, then we may prescribe that our pet is anxious. Not all the time, but in certain instances I've seen that, and that's okay. It's because once you can recognize, okay, that's right, that's how I'm feeling, then it's wonderful, because then you can work on that. The other thing, I think it's okay to say my pet is anxious, because we are all intuitive. We are all animal communicators with our pets. We all have the ability to sense what's going on with them. If I had a nickel for every time someone said, oh, I knew that about them. I had a feeling. So that being said, you can definitely read when your pet is uneasy or anxious. I don't think it's a negative per se. The only time I think it would be, and this is when I just ask that if you do feel like your cat or dog or whatever is sad, check on your own emotions first. Is it something about you? So for instance, last night I was speaking to a wonderful 80-year-old, 80-year-young woman. She's about to celebrate her birthday and she has an 18 and a half year old cat. And she wanted to sweetly check in with the cat because she was going to be going away for this big birthday celebration. And the cat came through right away and the cat was like, no, no, I don't want you to leave. And the cat was getting fluids every week and it, you know, going through some health challenges. And this woman, so sweet, just said, gosh, you know, I know I'm going to miss her. I'm going to miss her. And the cat kept saying, no, don't leave. Don't leave. And about halfway through, I kind of stopped and I said, wait a minute, did you just get back from somewhere? And she said, oh, yeah, I just got back from a trip. Oh. I should have mentioned that. And I was like, no, no, don't worry about not mentioning it. I said, but could it be that the cat is feeling the don't leave from you leaving before? And now you're feeling this sadness because you're having to leave again. And it was like a light went off and it was like, there you go. So the cat was indeed sad that she was leaving again, but it was more so because it was so fresh. And so again, so it's one of those things. And I think people can relate, especially those that travel for business, that, you know, if you're here and there and then somewhere else and then you come back, you're going to feel that sadness. Is your pet sad? Absolutely. They miss you. Absolutely. They want a schedule. But is it a little bit of us? It can be. It definitely can be. It's not always, but it can be.
Very, very interesting. I think that's really great. So you had mentioned earlier about talking and verbalizing, you know, with your animals. And I was curious if you have a simple recommendation or two for how to foster really caring and respectful communication with animals. I mean, I'm sure there's something about touch and play or whatever, but, you know, from your professional opinion, what are some ways that we can really build strong bonds with our pets?
Talk to them the way you would speak to your human child, say everything with positivity and love. If you can help it, there are times that we get frustrated and even myself, admittedly so. On TikTok, I created quite a stir when I created a TikTok and I said, don't call your pet fat. And people got very upset saying, oh, they don't know what we're saying, blah, blah, blah. But if you think about it, if fat is a negative connotation in our human realm, if you will, calling a pet fat, they may not understand the exact meaning, but they understand it's a negative and it's how we're saying it, right? You're not saying you're fat. Yay, you're fat. You know, no, you're saying you're fat, you know, right? It's a difference in even how your voice is sounding. So it's definitely watch your words around your beloved pet. And even when, and this goes back to even when you're traveling, like we were talking about before, when you're traveling, you want to say, everything's going to be okay. I'm going to be gone for five dark nights because animals sleep during the day. So if you say five sleeps, they may go, what? Well, I sleep five times during the day, especially if you're a cat. But you say five dark nights or seven dark nights, but you're putting a positive spin. You're safe. Everything's okay. Even I tell my pets every single night, you're safe. You're loved. You're needed. You're wanted. Everything's okay. So talk to your pets the way you would talk to your children or even yourself. Give them lots of love and also lots of understanding. The first time, the first night my black lab was in our house after being in a kennel for the first year of her life, she, I think, ate through a bunch of computer cords. And we woke up and we saw these pieces of cord and thank goodness she hadn't swallowed any. And we looked and her eyes were kind of downcast. And we said, that's okay, Abby. It's okay. You didn't understand. It's okay. And it was all love because she didn't understand. So it's just speaking with love and compassion. Another thing that I hear almost every day is put your phone down, or as pets like to say, put the box down, put the box in your hand down, put the phone down. Mindfully try and spend 5 or 10, 15 or 20 if you can, but spend time with them. I hear it all the time. They just want attention. And attention, a lot of it is from eye contact or even just sitting next to them. Now, if you have a cat that's hanging out under your couch, that doesn't mean you go down and stare at them. No, then you definitely can pick up your phone and just sit with them. But especially for a dog, especially for an active animal, play. But put the phone down. Put the phone down.
You're absolutely right, Nancy. And also, I actually am a little curious. If you have a pet that is looking at you a lot, are they trying to ask you for something?
A million different answers to that one. It just depends. I think sometimes it is an attention seeking. Sometimes it's just being present. Some pets are just more naturally inclined to have eye contact with you. And it's kind of like, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Others are kind of in the waiting game of what do you need? What do you need? Those are the ones that are going to be more protective. Those are the ones that are going to be more mission-based. The ones that like having a job, they'll just have their eyes on you. So it just depends. I think if it's not interfering with your work, you can definitely pet them. You know, sometimes I'll have my cat in during sessions and she definitely will kind of make those eyes with me. And she knows that I'm talking to other animals and I just kind of pet my leg or pat the chair and she'll come up and I'll pet her. So sometimes it's just that gentle acknowledgement, but it really depends on the animal and what they're trying to say. But if you have an animal that doesn't necessarily whine, they just kind of look at you, you can look back and you know, every once in a while, just say, hi, you know, you doing okay? Just again, talking to them. Hi, sweet puppy. Hi, sweet kitten. How you doing? Everything okay? How's your day going? Just talking to them and always but if you can in a positive voice, it definitely helps.
I love it. I love it. This is very validating because I do talk a lot to my dog, James, like when we're out walking and when we're around the house. And every now and then I think to myself, OK, do I seem like a little, am I being strange? But I really just enjoy chatting with him. I don't know.
Well, and they enjoy your voice as well. Yeah. I can't recall a time where I heard an animal say that they didn't like the sound of someone's voice. The only exception to that is what I call the Mrs. Doubtfire voice. So if you're a child of the 80s or before, you'll know what I mean. It's the Robin Williams hello.
Yes.
And I find a lot of mother-in-laws, no judgment to any mother-in-law, but a lot of mother-in-laws or grandmas will do it. It's just, I think it's more of a generational thing, but it's the hello. And that can get pretty obnoxious. They don't like the baby. A lot of animals don't care for the baby talk either. So when you kind of unnaturally go higher, they just kind of go, look, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Right. It's one thing to be positive and hi, sweet kitten. Hi, puppy. How you doing? Like it's, you know, you can raise your voice a little bit, but it's another thing to be like, oh my goodness, look at the puppy. Look at the puppy. No, no. They're just like, what's wrong with you? Not what's wrong with you, but like, why is your voice changing? Like, I'll get that. Like, why are they talking to me like that? Like, that's one of the first questions I'll get. Why does this woman talk to me like that? Oh, you know, just one of those things humans do.
And then you have to be the bearer of the bad news. That's so funny.
Well, but it's never in judgment, right? It's not like these dogs and cats are going, oh my God, that freaking woman. I can't stand them. No, it's just kind of like, why? It's why is that voice? Because they don't need it. They don't understand it. And again, it's different. Like if your voice goes a little bit high when you get home and oh my gosh, this is when we're going to a WALOK or so there's exceptions to that. But I think everyone, like when I said Mrs. Doubtfire, you laugh. So, you know, when you kind of go in that falsetto and keep at that level, that's when they're just like, what are you doing? And that's okay.
Gosh. Yeah.
And you know, and if you have a pet that enjoys it, again, there's always exceptions to the rule and that's great. And I love to hear it. I think it's great. But no, I don't think I've had anyone get offended by it because then you go, oh yeah, okay, I do it. All right. Because knowledge is power. Once you know you do it, then you go, okay, well, I don't need, because it's, unless you enjoy speaking like Mrs. Doubtfire, then that's awesome. Keep speaking like that.
Oh, so interesting. Well, I want to just shine a little light on another lane of work you do. And actually it's part of Creature Preacher with the Rescue Me episodes. And you've done a lot of work with rescue animals, helping them find a match based on their history and their temperament, which I just think is amazing. And, you know, many families connect with rescue animals with a whole lot of unknowns. So what would you say? I'm sure we've covered a little bit of this ground just through general caring communication tactics, but Are there things that people can do when they have a rescue pet join their family to nurture those relationships with those animals and help them feel safe?
The best piece of advice I can give is it takes time. Animals are coming with distinct trauma and a very individual sense of what the world is, and the world may be very small for them. I think understanding, yeah, you know, I talk to people and they've had their dog a month and they go, what's going on? It's been a month. Well, it, you know, again, and this is not scientific. This is just my, what I've seen as an animal communicator. It can take a year. It can take a year and a half. I talked to a dog a bit ago in Rhode Island that after 6 years still had trauma, still couldn't do certain things. And that's okay. I think just having a lot of patience. And once you see the triggers, whether it's maybe it's hats or maybe it's the refrigerator or whatever it is, identifying those triggers and then being sensitive to that. And instead of kind of trying to force them to get over it or, you know, it's respecting that's triggering for them and not putting them in situations that it's terrifying for them.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And that loops back to the patience element that you mentioned right at the beginning of the show. So I really love that. All right, Nancy, we're going to take another quick break and then we will be back with a little fascinating micro observation experiment.
Did you know that hyaluronic acid naturally occurs in our skin but decreases gradually as we age, leading to thinner, drier skin? If you're looking for support hydrating your skin from the inside out, check out one of the tools in my hydration arsenal, Rituals Hyacera, which I take every morning. Rituals products are tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals, and Hyacera is clinically proven to reduce fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. They also engage in industry-leading sustainability standards and are a female-founded B Corp, which means they hold themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of people and our planet. Want to join me in hydrating from the inside out? Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/edit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/edit for 25% off. People often talk about the impact of things like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrition on skin, but did you know those things impact your hair too? If you've been dealing with hair thinning, you are not alone, and Nutrafol is here to help. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. I appreciate that they offer formulas tailored to different life stages, such as postpartum and menopause, as well as different lifestyles, such as plant-based diets. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering Edit Your Life listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code EDIT. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, and use promo code EDIT. That's Nutrafol.com using promo code EDIT.
Hello, friends. We are back with the wonderful Nancy Mello. I have just loved this conversation. I hope you have as well. Okay, Nancy, here's something fun. And I'm like maybe like 1% nervous and just 99% excited. But after listening to the first episode of Creature Preacher, I thought it could be really fascinating to give Edit Your Life listeners a small taste of what you do. You and I talked about this before and agreed on a micro approach on this. So thank you for being open to this creative idea. And that is in comparison to the full reads you would normally do with clients. So just to set the stage so listeners understand, I sent you a photo of my dog, James, like right before the recording session. So you haven't had much contact with him. I shared his name, his location, and now you're going to share an observation or two with me in real time right now, whatever's on your mind. or his mind, as it were.
Yeah, sure. So I spent just a couple of minutes with James, and we can talk about his physical stuff. But what I thought was really amusing is once I kind of connected with him, and once we got kind of hacked past some of the physical elements, was he showed me his paw, and he showed me raising his paw up. And he said that he's very smart and he likes showing off. And he says he wants more training. He says he wants more training, and he says he likes to show other dogs what to do. And then he showed me a white dog that he kind of likes to show off in front of. So I feel like this is a dog about his size, maybe a standard poodle or maybe even a retriever or a golden doodle. But there was a white dog, and I feel like it's female, but I could be wrong, that he kind of likes to strut in front of, like, look what I can do. But I really see him going into more agility training and more fun stuff. He likes to play, but he likes to play in front of an audience. I could definitely see him doing perhaps dock diving or some other agility type sport, or even the barn hunt that is becoming popular. He's just very interested in doing, and he's very social. He wants to be out and about. He's extroverted. So animals, just like people, they can be introverted, they can be extroverted. He is extroverted. He wants to be with the crowd. He has his dog friends. He has his people that he has his favorites. So my advice to you would be get this dog into more training. I would even challenge you, if you had the time, to look into the American Kennel Club training, where they can be a canine good citizen. He would love that. He loves a challenge. He also, his mind is always working. I don't know if you have puzzles for him at home, but he likes to figure things out. And he's very handy with his paws. Like, I think that he can get a little bit, he's tested you a bit in the past of what he can and can't do, because he definitely will push that envelope. And that's why I think training is so good for him, and agility, because anytime his mind is working, he's happy. And it's with he's when he's kind of laying around the house that he's like, what can I get into? So.
Oh, wow. Okay. So while you were talking, I just literally had my mouth hanging open, because lately around the house, my husband, John, has been, after we come in from our morning walk, where he does a lot of frisbee catching, he's an incredible frisbee catcher. He said he does a little training around the house. And just this morning, he said, Christine, come do this. Like, he really, really loves this. And so he had me, you know, say the commands that he usually does, and up and like off and all these other things. So I'm just a little bit stunned. And yes, the funny thing, you might just find this amusing to hear back, the thing about his paws, every now and then, he will lie on his back holding a toy, but like holding it with his paws up in the air, playing with it like a baby. It's just okay. So my mind is blown. That's that. Thank you for that observation. I love that you got to chat with him. It's his birthday this week, so that's like a little birthday gift to me.
Well,
so
and
thank
thanks
you
for letting me talk with James. He's so sweet. He loves his family very much. He's definitely a star. Like, he is absolutely a star. He knows he's a star in the house. He definitely runs things. So just, again, keep an eye on that and kind of understanding where he is in the pack order. Just so, again, he doesn't kind of get into stuff, because I do feel like he will push it. So, no, he's wonderful. I'd talk to him for all day if I could.
Oh, my gosh, Nancy. And we call him Star Poodle. Like, when
there
he.
You go.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, I'm going to need a little recovery time after this, but. Nancy, this has been amazing, and I really hope this conversation, you know, it's funny, as I mentioned just briefly, I had some significant animal trauma in my past, so I never thought I would get a dog or have a dog in the family, and my kids were the ones who, during the pandemic, they put together a very compelling poster presentation, followed by a video presentation when the poster didn't move me, and I never would have imagined that it would change my life so much. So I hope that this conversation, you know, will help people see and consider and think about the love and mutual respect and healing that could ensue welcoming a little furry friend, or not furry, shiny. It could be anything, a tortoise or what have you, into their house. I have one last question for you. So at the end of each show, I ask my guests to share what is called your next edit. It's a super actionable tip that listeners can consider doing right away after they finish listening. So whether it's something you talked about earlier in this episode or just some other quick tip that's on your mind, I would love to hear what your next edit is today.
Sure. I'd love to challenge you to spend 10 uninterrupted minutes with your phone on Do Not Disturb, phone down, with your pet. If you don't have a pet currently, I would challenge you to go outside and I want you to watch the birds and watch the animals outside now that it's springtime and there's a lot of activity. So go, and when you're spending time either outside with the birds and the squirrels or with your own pet, I want you to, you can have music on, you can do whatever, but I want you to just spend time with them, and either you're petting them or you're just sitting with them. And be open. And if you hear something like, I like this, or I want to go outside, be open to that. I always say the stranger, the better. That's how I know what I'm hearing is true, because it's definitely not my thoughts. But just be open to whatever they want to do for those 10 minutes. You could follow them around the house. You can grab a ball, whatever it is. But just 10 minutes with your phone. Do not disturb.
I think that's beautiful. And I think after we finish recording, I'll go give James a little 10 minutes of love and observation and just connection. So Nancy, thank you for generously bringing yourself to this conversation, bringing your gift to me personally with your observations about James and just for the work you do connecting animals and people. It's just wonderful. I appreciate you.
Well, thanks so much for having me, and thanks for all the work you're doing in connecting people as well.
Take care. Friends, I hope you enjoyed this incredible conversation. And thanks to Nancy's insightful micro observations, the very next day after recording this episode, I signed James up for some dog training classes. So thank you, Nancy, for helping me be a better pet partner with James. You'll find the show notes for this episode, including links to resources and related episodes, at edityourlifeshow.com. As ever, I would love to hear your thoughts and questions. Come say hello on Instagram or Facebook at Edit Your Life Show, or send an email to edityourlifeshow@gmail.com. I would also be grateful if you would drop Edit Your Life a review on Apple Podcasts or tell a pod-loving friend about the show. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced, so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting Podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.